Hello and welcome to the Compliance Week podcast. This is Joe Mott, staff writer for Compliance Week. Financial institutions and firms have been leery about how to approach social media. Many are just now starting to dip a cautious toe in the new media waters, and regulators are taking notice with new rules and guidance. The SEC, for example, now requires that financial services firms keep a record of broker-dealers and investment advisors' social media activity in an archive. In this week's podcast, we talk to Yasmin Zarabi, head of compliance and legal for Hearsay Social, a software-as-a-service social media management platform, about the challenges facing the financial sector. We asked her how the risk landscape is evolving for firms in the financial sector when they want to utilize the outreach that social media makes available.
Financial services have a complex legal and regulatory obligations that complicate matters. There are over 12 major regulatory bodies overseeing the financial services, including FINRA, FFIC, SEC, FTC, plus state and regional laws. And balancing these, the active new and changing rules and ever-changing technologies make compliance a daunting task for financial services. A few years ago, all social media use was seen as a risk, and most firms took the approach of blocking it altogether, and mainly for two reasons. It was not very clear how regulations that I just named apply to the use of social media, and frankly, there were not that many technology vendors that were advanced enough to provide social media compliance functionality. However, today, there's a rapid acceleration in the adoption of social media by financial services industry, seemingly driven by a confluence of three favorable factors. One is that there are clearer guidelines specific to social media, thanks to SEC and FINRA coming out with number of guidance in the past recent years, explaining how advisors can use social media in a compliant manner. Two, advancement in compliance technology, such as Hearsay Social and others that help firms address social media compliance. And lastly, you know, consumers' increased comfort and widespread use of new channels, such as social media, for making financial decisions. Today, firms still see some risks in social media, but ultimately, they believe the rewards outweigh these risks. And also, even to the early adopters that we've seen, there has been no catastrophic events in the use of social media. So I think, you know, the fear of something really bad happening on social has subsided tremendously.
Financial services firms were initially very leery of social media, but have taken the plunge. How are they using social media? What unique concerns do they face? Are there unique and specific regulatory challenges? How can they overcome these obstacles?
I think it's important to throw some statistics into the mix to understand the landscape of financial advisors using social media. A survey taken about a year ago showed that half of U.S. financial advisors have an active presence on social, and 61% of these advisors said that they had landed a new client directly from social media. So the fact of the matter is that they're using social, and in order to get ahead of the curve, these firms have to accept that and embrace it and preempt any risks by coming up with policy and training. So there, overview of financial services guidelines by FINRA and SEC is that firms have to adopt a written policy and train all their employees on this policy and follow up on any red flags when and if someone breaks this policy. The advertising rules, content standards apply to the use of social media because having a profile on social is considered, you know, that advisor's actual advertisement on social media. So therefore, their profile has to be pre-reviewed and approved by the firm's principals. And the content that they put out there, if it's static, it has to go through pre-review. If it's dynamic, meaning it's real time, then it needs to be supervised in the event that there are any red flags and violations. And by use of technology, the workflow for these pre-review or supervision becomes easy and more efficient. And lastly, these financial firms have to keep an accurate record of all of the communications that take on social media. SEC requires specifically Rule 17A-3 and 4 of the 1934 Securities Exchange Act requires a complete record of financial advisors and broker-dealers communications, electronic communications, to be archived in a write once, read many, which we call in the industry a WORM compliant archive. Hearsay Social recently expanded its partnerships with technology providers that provide a WORM compliant storage so that our financial services firms can keep one record of all of their electronic communications, email, and social media so that in the event there is an audit by FINRA or SEC, they can produce these records and ensure that they have not been tampered with.
Insurance companies also have unique challenges.
I think it's important to actually note that insurance companies have been one of the earliest adopters of social media. Insurance agents are relationship managers, and historically, they spend countless hours networking through traditional models of cold calling and asking for in-person referrals within a defined geographic territory. However, today, social media provides these producers with an opportunity to change dramatically how they build relationships and market their products. They can reach out to a much wider network of referrals and obtain significant real-time life signals, such as, you know, someone had a baby or someone got a promotion or is in the market looking for a house, to quickly make a call on those life event changes and without even having to leave their office. So social media enables them to, expand their network and grow their contacts very efficiently. However, the important thing to remember is that since social media is another medium of communication, its use by insurance companies and producers generally does not change the applicability of state insurance laws. So these firms and producers have to be cognizant about the various regional and state laws that apply to them, and that pursuing contacts and relationship outside of the territories that they're licensed could cause issues with the regulators. Therefore, some of these agents are pursuing licenses and sales opportunities outside of their traditional geographic areas in order to be compliant on social media. In addition, they are posting, they should be posting disclaimers and disclosures on their profile stating that they're only licensed to practice within a certain territory, and be truthful and honest and not misleading with their communications on social. Apart from regulatory compliance concerns, insurance companies also are concerned about protecting their brand when their agents use social media. Therefore, again, using a technology that enables these firms to monitor and supervise their agents' communications with the public will ensure that, their agents are staying on course with the regulations that apply to them and also protecting the brand of the company.
What advice would she offer compliance teams at financial institutions as they look to minimize their social media risk exposure?
The most successful social media compliant programs that we've seen at financial institutions require a cross-functional collaboration across all of the departments within a firm. Historically, financial institutions are very siloed organizational structures and they are disconnected. Social media is one of the forms of communication that we've seen has brought IT to market. marketing and communications and PR teams and human resources, legal and compliance together. So what we recommend is for these firms to create a social media task force that comprises of a member of one of these departments that I've just named, and for them to collaborate on documenting what a social media policy should be for that institution. And it should be specific for every firm as it goes to the culture and practices that they have with regards to communication. And these policies and procedures should be reviewed on a regular basis by the social media task force to ensure that it's up to date and, you know, that it makes sense. And then ensuring that everyone within the firm has reviewed and been properly trained on the social media policy and also on using social media. We were surprised to see that many employees within a firm may not even have a profile and may not even know how to go about creating one. And we encourage firms to have these one-on-one classes for their employees just to show them how to even, you know, create a profile on LinkedIn. And, again, stressing that there needs to be tools and technology in place in order to ensure that the policies are being they're being abided by, and that their employees' business use of social media is being monitored and supervised. And as I stated earlier, there needs to be an accurate record of not only the communications that happen on social media, but also the workflow, the supervision that happens behind the scene with regards to approving these communications on social. So therefore, you know, just to summarize, again, having the right people, a buy-in from the C-suite, having documentation, policies, procedures, tools, and technology all go hand-in-hand with having a successful social media compliant program within a firm.
Again, that was Yasmin Zarabi of Hearsay Social discussing the risks presented by social media to financial firms and what they can do about it. That's all the time we have for this week's podcast. This is Joe Mott, staff writer for Compliance Week, and thank you for listening.